The Mishnah says in Tainus, I'll quote you the Mishnah, L'hoi yom tovim l'Yisrael, Chamisha asa ba'av of Yom HaKippur. There were no such greater holidays in Klal Yisrael as Yom HaKippur and Tesvav Be'av. And the Mishnah says also what happened on these holidays. The girls went out to try to entice the Bochum to get married. And the Mishnah says this way, the beautiful girl said, look at the beauty, a woman is only created for beauty, and marry us. The second category of girls were miyuchosim. They said, the reason you get married is to have good children. So if you marry us, we have miyuchosim, they get children, and they'll have good shiduchim. And the other ones, the plain girls, girls who didn't have yichas, and they didn't have looks, said, look, it's all nonsense. Israel yields Hashem to Salah. We former women marry us. That's what the Mishnah. And these, on that Yom Kippur and on Tesla B'Yav, the girls went out to try to get the men married. So the Gemara says, I understand Yom Kippur, why is it such a big holiday? It's a Yom Slich of Kapora, and it's also the day that the Luchas were given, the second Luchas were given. And the second Luchas were given, according to the Mishnah, it's called B'Yom Chasunosei. The fact that Rabbi Shon gave us the luchos means we became the wife. It was a marriage between Rabbi Shon and Klal Yisrael. So since it was a marriage between Klal Yisrael and Rabbi Shon, that's why the girls went out on that day, because it's a day that's good for Shaduchim. However, the Gemara says, what was the big holiday of Tetzav B'Av? So I'm going to read you every one, and I'm going to explain to them. The first one says that was the day that the Shvatim were able to remarry. It was Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Bnei Slofot, said the first generation cannot marry. When they went to Israel and they yashin the Yerusha, they said you can't have a girl from Shevet Reuven marry a guy from Shevet Shimon. Why? Let's say the girl would be a single girl, she would yashin the Yerusha, then she would go to marry a guy from Shevet Shimon, and we know that Aloch is her husband, yashin's his wife. So they said the first generation can't do it, but she's going to lose the Reuven was going to lose property to Shimon. So by the second generation, they said, all right, they could intermarry. So since that day, that was the test of B'Av in the second generation, so they remarried, they decided you could marry together. So okay, so it became a symbol for Chasana. The other ones are saying there was another case similar. Many years later, there was a Maiso Pilegish Begivo. What happened was this, where there was somebody from Binyamin, Shev Binyamin had a Pilegish. Pilegish means a mistress, and he killed her and he cut her up into many pieces, and he sent the pieces to Klal Yisrael. So all the Shvatim were very angry. So what kind of nevola did you do? It's terrible. You killed somebody and you send the pieces. So they had a war with Binyamin. They destroyed Binyamin, and they made a cherem that our generation would not be Meshadah with Shevet Binyamin. However, the second generation, Tesvav B'Av, the second generation after the war, said, okay, we could be Meshadah with Bnei Binyamin, and therefore it's a ninyan of Shiduchim. That's why the girls went out. The third Mandama says, what was the greatness of Tesvav B'Av? That was the day that the Mason Midbar did not die. And Rashi explains this way. Every year on Erev Tisha B'Av, there was an announcement made, everybody has to dig a grave and lie down in the grave, because Erev Tisha B'Av was when the Rakhman came back. And in the morning, they would announce, whoever's alive, please come out of the grave. The dead ones remained in the grave. So what happened was the last year of the Midbar, they went to the grave on the 9th of Av, and everybody came out alive. So they felt, maybe we made a mistake. Maybe it's not Tesvav B'Av. We made a mistake in the Cheshvan of the Chodesh. And they kept on going every day till Tesvav B'Av. Now Tesvav B'Av, the moon is full already. So they realize it can't be Tisha B'Av anymore. It's, in other words, it's forgiven. We will not die anymore. And what was the greatness of it? So the Gemara says that was the day that the Shechina started talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, in the 38 years between the Meisah of the Miraculum till that the last day of the Midbar, Rabbi Shimon had no discussion with Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rashi says, and I'm going to use this as a special lashon, that was the day that Rabbi Shimon spoke specially to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says the lashon chibur. In other words, the fact that he spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu means he showed him love. So since it was a day of love, so it's understandable you could have a siduchim. The fourth man, the Omar, says, a man by the name of Hoshea ben Ela, he was a king of Israel. Now we know that when Yerovam ben Nevat split with Chovim, And instead of making, they split the Malchus Yehuda. Malchus Yehuda became one Malchus, and the Malchus Shur, the Shvat, Aser Shvat, became their own Malchus. He set up a barrier that the Jews cannot be Oile Regel to Yerushalayim. What was the barrier? Some say it was a physical barrier, like the Berlin Wall, like a fence you couldn't go through. Some say it was armed guards. He set up guards, and you could not cross the border to go from the Galil to Yerushalayim. However, this king, whose name was Shea ben Ella, Rashi says, was a bad king, but he wasn't as bad as the other ones. He said, there's no more borders. The Jews from Galil can go to Yerushalayim, and therefore, there was a unity of Klal Yisrael, which is again an inyan of Shiduchim. It's a unity. Then there's one man, Mandi Omar, who says, what was the day, the greatness of the day of Tesef of? That was the day that the Roman king allowed the Haruge Beta to be buried. Now what happened at Haruge Beta? There was a revolt with Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba had a revolt against the Roman Empire. For the first year or so, he was very successful. And then at the end, the Roman army overwhelmed him. Chazal say he did an avera. It doesn't matter. He was overwhelmed. And he retreated to a place called Beta. Have you ever been to Eretz Yisrael? Yeah. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, Beta's on the hill. So he was there for a while, trying to remain. And anyhow, the Roman army captured Beitar, and they killed all the Jews in Beitar, and they would not let them get buried. And then 15 years later, they allowed the Jews to get buried. So the question is this way, what does it have to do with Shidduchim? What is it, the Beitar, they were buried, what does it have to do with Shidduchim? Okay, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra that says, very important Gemara, that when the Beis HaMikdash was Chorev, the Chazal wanted to say that you should not eat meat and you should not drink wine, because there used to be Makrif Kabonis on the Mizbeah with meat, and now the Beis HaMikdash is Chorev, you should not eat meat and you shouldn't drink wine, because they used to have on the Mizbeah, they used to pour the wine, and now there's no Beis HaMikdash, so you shouldn't drink wine. But the Chazal said this was a Gzeirah that the Olam cannot stand. You can't be goyz on an olam that they can't carry it out. I mean, you can't give them a burden that's impossible for them to carry out. So the Chazal said, forget about it, let's eat meat. However, the Gemara says, weiter, Malchus Horosha, that was Adrianus. Adrianus was, after he conquered Bar Kokhba, he made terrible gzeirus on Israel. First of all, he said, Bevatel the mitzvahs, the Gemara says. The second told them, you can't learn Torah. And he said also, you can't have bris milah. I mean, in our time, we had Stalin who did the same thing. Stalin did the same thing. What was his purpose? He wanted to destroy the Jewish nation, and he realized without a religion, the Jewish nation can't work. And that's why Rabbi Akiva defied Adrianus, and he used to gather people to learn Torah against Adrianus's edict. And of course, he was caught, he was killed. But anyhow, what happened then? So the Jews said that way, if we can't be Mekayim Mitzvahs, we can't have a milah, we can't have Torah, let us not get married, let us not have children, and let the Klal Yisrael just disappear from the face of the earth. And the Gemara says, I'll read you the Lashon, I don't have Bava Basra. We shouldn't get married, and we shouldn't have children. And we will automatically have the Klal Yisrael get extinct. So because of Adrianus, there was no marriage. 15 years later, what happened? Probably Adrianus died, and there was probably a new king. And this new king had a more liberal policy, and he told them, I'll allow the Jews to be buried. So once the Jews saw that there was a new king and a liberal thing, they figured maybe now the situation will be better for the Jews. And let's rebuild Klal Yisrael, because we see a ray of hope. And it was stuck that way. It happened that way. And according to the English calendar, Beta was destroyed in 135 AD. The burial was in 150 AD. Within 50 years after that, Torah was flourishing in Klal Yisrael. As a matter of fact, the Roman king, Antoninus, was the best friend of Rebbe. And there's a Yerushalmi brought down in Tosfos. Not only was he the best friend of Rebbe, he was Megayah. Antoninus was Megayah. And of course, Torah flourished, because Rabbeinu HaKodesh was able to compile the Mishnah. And right after that, Rabbeinu Chabchiyah and Rabbi Osher were able to do the Tosefta. So 50 years after the fact that they allowed the Jews to be buried, Torah flourished again in Israel, and it grew again. And that's why when they decided to bury the Jewish nation realized there's going to be a revival, and that's why we made Chassidus. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.